I'm sitting in the backyard, and this possum has just come up to me and laid its head on my left foot. And I nearly lost my mind because I was sure the thing had rabies, because what wild animal does that? And I've got a crystal on the bridge of my nose, and I'm looking at the full moon with each eye in a side of the crystal, and it's making like a superimposed three-dimensional moon inside my brain. Don't ask me how I got that idea, but it did it. Something snapped in my brain, and then this possum appeared out of the sky. It fell out of the air. It appeared first as a mist, but suspended. It was like a 6-foot piece of fog floating above the ground. It didn't go to the ground. And when I looked at it, I got panicked out of my mind. Something in me knew that that was like an anomaly in nature. And as I became frightened, it like fell to the earth. A possum stood there. Then it came over and laid its head on my foot. So I run in the house and I told my wife, I said, "My God, I got a drum. I go out to pray to the moon, and all of a sudden the animal comes over and puts its head on my foot, and I'm like lost my mind." And I asked it, "Please go away," because I was so frightened that I couldn't handle the fear. And I said, "I know you're a sacred animal. You've come to give me a message, but I can't handle this fear. Would you please just go away?" And it did. But then I missed it, of course. But people don't understand. Encounters with the other side are really overwhelming. So then I go inside and the phone rings and a shaman is on the phone just as I'm telling my wife. And he said, "We're having a big gathering this weekend. Would you like to come? We're going to do a sweat lodge." It was my first one. So I said, "Yes." And on the way down, he said, I told him the possum story, and he said, "It was probably a sacred being that took the form of a possum so that you didn't lose your mind." And he said, "It was a gift to you, and it still gave you a gift. We don't know what it is, but anyway, it got me to the thing because I would have never gone to a sweat lodge, only this was such an amazing event." I get to the sweat lodges. I met a lot of wonderful people, lots of stories I could tell. But the one that I want to focus on now is grandmother and grandfather from the reservation. They were there, and they just looked like two, can I say, inebriated Indians that needed a few bucks for the weekend. And I had such a judgmental mind. I was like, these guys are like just hitting the bottle, and they're going to make $50 from everybody that's here, and they're going to go home with $3,000. And what can I learn from these people? Well, anyway, and it's because they had like a groggy attitude. Like he'd listen to people with his eyes closed and nod his head, and never really felt like he was connected and awake. So I judged that he was probably inebriated the whole time. That's the kind of intellect I have, a very judgmental intellect. Anyway, we get into the first sweat lodge. I'd never been into one. And he closes the door, and it starts to get so hot that I'm almost panicky inside. And I'm thinking, he's singing, and he's about 85 years old. I'm only in my late 30s or early 40s. Whatever his body's doing, I know my body can do, but I have to get my head into a place where his head is at. Where could that be? I'd never studied the chakras, but I thought, well, maybe it's inside my heart center, because maybe. So I put my awareness in my heart, and then I realized, wow, it seemed like the heat got turned off. And then I would put my awareness back in the lodge, and it was too unbearable. So I started to sing from my heart. And I kind of got taught by the lodge that the heart is where you need to be here. And so that was the first lodge. That was over. The next day we go in, and you've been to lodges, I'm sure, many. And there's an order of how you go in. The lodge host or the leader usually goes in first, and then it stacks around. Just before we go in, the guy whose property it was comes up to him and he says, "Could I ask for healing while I'm in the lodge?" He said, "I've had this terrible pain in my back." He said, "I haven't been able to sit on my lower spine without pain for as long as I can remember, maybe 20 years." So the old Indian's like this with his eyes closed and he goes, "Oh," and then he opens one eye and he goes, "You will heal him." So he said, "I'll go in first."
Who's you?
Me! I'm
Oh.
this big blobby kid from, like Rochester, don't know anything about anything. I'm in there for the ride. I didn't go in there to be the show. So he says, "I'll go in first." He said, "Then you come after me." And he said, "And then the guy with the pain comes next." And he said, "And when I give you the signal, I want you to kneel down and whistle at the pain in the guy's back. Huh. Well, we're all naked and I got a whistle in this guy's butt.
Yeah, right.
So that's all I can think of is this is like a stupid.
And you're 30, right?
Yeah,
I get it.
I know. And I'm like, I got to get on my. And then he tells me I got to be on my knees, and he has to be on his knees in front of me. And we're in a total black room with a hole that if you fall into, you're going to burn yourself to death, right? Because all the stones are in there.
And that means your butt's in his face.
So I'm thinking, how am I going to deal with this, you know? And I get in there, and he starts to lodge up, first door, second door. And then I notice, because I'm in my heart, as the old Indian is singing, he's taking us through all of our chakras. I can feel it in my chakra centers. I wasn't even into chakras. Mm-hmm. But because I was in my heart, I was somehow connected to that center. Mm-hmm. And he was bringing his voice up to each center and then bringing it back down. And at one point, I started to get very concerned about how I would do the healing. Because he didn't give me any other instructions except that. And I came out of my heart and I was starting to get excited. And he said, no, get in your heart again. And he's got his eyes closed singing next to me. And I'm going, oh my God, he's connected to my awareness.
Yeah.
So I started to pay attention. Then he says, okay, now you do the healing. So I hear the guy next to me rustle, and I know he's on his knees with his butt face in my face. And I get on my knees and I'm trying to like reach up really high to find his shoulders so that I know I'm lined up. And I didn't want to touch anything below his shoulders. Anyway, I kind of got myself where I thought I was in the right position. Then I hear a blood-curdling scream in the lodge. It so frightened me to death, Sonny, that I tell you that the color, even I was in the dark, the blood drained out of me. And then I realized it came out of my throat. And what happened next was something that still chokes me up. I saw, as though I were watching a movie, I saw natives all the way back in the Ice Age hunting a saber-toothed tiger. And they were kind of like not too smart, and they were spearing it, but they weren't killing it. And the animal got to wander with spears in it for weeks before they finally killed it. And it was killing humans and eating them because it could capture them, but they couldn't get it because it was a monster. A saber-toothed tiger could barely fit in this room. I mean, they were big cats.
Oh, wow.
I saw it, and then I saw the kill when they finally killed it. But because the anger in the animal, and it had a high consciousness, it had become embodied in its DNA. And everybody that partook in the eating of its flesh embodied that suffering. And then I saw in a rapid motion picture all the lineages and all the matings and all the children until it came to his lineage. And then I whistled at the pain. And I could see it like a disc inside of his spine. And as I whistled, it dissolved into the ethers. And the pain was released. And the scream was the scream of the saber-toothed tiger being killed. It was the most amazing experience I ever... So I wanted to tie that in with Stanislav Goff's work because we went back to prehistoric time to find the origin of that pain. And the guy was relieved for life. And I went out naked and laid in the snow and cried my eyes out because I'd witnessed something through my own awareness that I couldn't even ever imagined in 1,000 years. I didn't know what the hell I'd just experienced.
Wow.
You know, but it really is exactly what he's talking about.
Yeah.
But somehow between the lodge and everything, it triggered that way. You know, but it was like so amazing an experience.
And then did you, somehow got a follow-up that guy never had a problem with
him? He never had problems again because he became a friend of mine.
Mm.
We were nose-to-butt buddies by that.
True.
But what happened then, I was laying in the snow crying, and I found a green rock with lots of sides on it. And I thought, oh, this rock is meaningful. It was an unusual rock. So I held it to my third eye, and a wolf's face lunged into my, like three-dimensionally lunged at me, and I gasped, and I didn't know what that meant. So I went home and I called a good friend of mine, Dr. Mosier, and I said, John, here's the experience I had, and then the rock showed me this wolf, and I think that's the next step, but I don't know what it means. And he says, oh, that's easy. He said, Twyla Nitch is the matriarch of the Seneca Nation, And that tribe is the Wolf Clan, and you're supposed to go and ask her. Oh. And that's how I got involved in so many different things. But, you know, it was like one thing after another, and it's changed everything.
Yeah.
But, and then life became, like, intertwined with spiritual meaningfulness, and you know what it's like. And then you have to follow those paths, because they're more meaningful,
right,
and they're more direct than real life itself was.
And life is bringing them to you, so that's what you do.
Yeah. So anyway, that's the story of what I wanted to just say about Stanislav.
My question would be, why would that have healed him when you were the one who saw it?
Well, because I was doing that whistling and intending.
Yeah.
And that whistle, based on this whole shaman, dissolved the stress, just like Vedic,
right,
you know, Vedic sound therapy.
Right, so he didn't have to get the story.
Not
you
at all.
You got the story.
I got the whole story and the vision and why
and
it happened
sound.
And how it got
there
rid of
again,
it and everything.
Sound healed him.
Yeah.
Wow,
it's
beautiful.
Pretty amazing, yeah.
Beautiful.
And we need to help the young people realize it's not on the surface.
Yeah, right.
You know, this is visceral. I wasn't taking anything. I wasn't doing anything. I didn't even know that those things were possible things.
Yeah.
You know, they just come through you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.